Marianne Gardner. This is Life Talk with Marietta Podcast. How are you this afternoon?
So good. Good to hear from you, Marietta.
Thank you on this very, very eventful day. But I'll get to that later.
Okay.
For our audience who do not know Marianne Gardner, Marianne Gardner is a board-certified practitioner, and she also has a degree in clinical counseling, human services, and a master of education degree in teaching and learning. I mean, she has everything there is to, everything you need and there is to know, Marianne has it. And of course, her area of expertise is working with highly resistant and behaviorally challenged homeless and addicted population in all ages and stages of development. But our podcast is not only for that particular area, it is for all of us because nobody is exempt. And thank you again for making time
That's
today.
That's for sure.
Yep. And of course, this is a series of podcasts called Life Stories and Life Lessons. And today's topic is all about, and I kept Marianne in suspense, how much mental preparation should we invest earning a living? And I have to really say to our audience, sometimes I have to come up with these titles. I have to just do it. Even though I would word them a little different, but sometimes you just have to do what you got to do. Right, Marianne?
Yeah, that sounds like an excellent topic and very creatively put. I like that.
Thank you. And what I thought of was putting this whole topic actually in three categories, actually for the person that is just looking for work, and that could be a day laborer or temps. Then other people that are looking for a job, and that really sounds like they just want a job to pay the bills and just to make ends meet. And the third one is looking for a career. So,
yes.
And I am certain with all three categories, we have three different mindset, three different behaviors, and three different lifestyles. So, and I'd like to start with the day laborer or people that like to do temp work. Because there is nothing wrong with that. When people elect to have day labor, and they're happy with that, just getting, you know, a couple of days with the work. The rest of the time, they have free time and do whatever. We're not even questioning that.
Mm-hmm.
Years ago, decades ago, companies would only hire through temp work first, and then you were hired permanently. So, and some of them are stop-and-go laborers. So all I'm saying, there's nothing wrong with it, but there is a different mindset with all of that.
Oh, I agree. And I think if you look at it as more like possibility thinking, you never know where that open door will lead to a bigger and better opportunity. So even taking a job, a short-term position, temp job, you get to try it out. You get to see if it's a good fit, a good match or not. And you may discover new skills, new things that you like, or things that you say, you know, this is not for me. I'm glad I had an opportunity to try it out. And so now I know that I have to look further or dig deeper to find out what else I can do that's going to satisfy that fulfillment piece that I need when I'm working.
Right. Absolutely. And I remember the days back in the 80s, in the 90s. I know this is a while back, but what the heck, they still operate the same way, the temp agencies. And I remember meeting some real great people that were in our advertising agency. At that time, I was an employee at an advertising agency. So the boss always had an assistant when his daughter couldn't make it. And he really seemed to fit quite nicely with Elliot. Elliot was the name of the, you know, the boss. So, so today, after all this time, I wouldn't mind doing temp work and having the challenge every single time. I love that.
Well, I agree. Marietta, it's good because it gives you some diversion. It like I said, opens up windows of opportunity in different places and things maybe you wouldn't have normally tried in your regular day-to-day job. So if you take a temp job, again, it's like trying on different pairs of shoes to see, oh, let me walk in these a little bit. You walk around the store a little bit in the department, you say, these feel good, or they just don't fit quite right. So I think it's a great opportunity for anyone that really isn't quite sure where they want to go and what they want to do.
Yes, I really, it's still the same from way back. So this way, they pick up different industry knowledge and flexibility as well, because you do have to have more flexibility. You're challenged with that when you go from employer to employer, if you will, on temp assignments. And I love the idea. I really love it. Today I love it. Back then, you know, I was an employee. I was in accounting, so my mind was different. And of course, then we have the day laborer that really just get out of bed. Let's just face this and say it. That just get out of bed just to make a day's living, then they come back home. You know, and there are all kinds. Also, the stop and go workers. They may want to keep a job for 2 or 3 days, and for some reason, behavioral reason, after the second or third day, they can't deal with it anymore. I don't know what it is, what it could be.
Hmm.
What could it be, Marianne? What do you think?
Well, I mean, if they stop and go, they don't. Maybe they're discovering things that don't feel quite right, they're uncomfortable with. Again, it's focusing on the person's strengths and not their barriers. And maybe, you know, by going to these different types of jobs that they go to, placed in different agencies to work, they're really getting a good, true self-check about what their soft and hard skills are. Knowing who they really are in the workplace and how they fit into that culture.
Right. But I'm also talking about the individuals that are not going through a temp agency. And for some that are in the temp agency, let's just say manufacturing, construction, you have flexibility, you know, on projects, depending on the weather, painters, the same thing, landscape, or snow removal, so seasoned individual, but there are some individuals that just have a problem getting out of bed in the morning, and I do want to talk about that a little bit, because they have good intention when they start, but after the third day, they just can't carry it through anymore. That's what I was saying.
Okay, so that sounds to me like what you're saying is the motivation kind of really kind of fizzles out.
Yes.
And so for some people, they have to get re-inspired. They have to think about their top accomplishments and why they took this position and help remind themselves a lot of positive self-talk. Because there are days when all of us at some point or another just feel like going back to sleep and saying, I'm going to call it a day, or stop the world, I want to get off. I don't really want to go to work today. Sometimes that happens, and that's okay, but if it's happening every day, then you have to figure out what is bringing on that negative self-talk where you're already self-sabotaging yourself in this job.
Yes, and we're all in the same boat. I go down the driveway on the road. My car engine makes a funny noise, something that I've never heard before. I had to turn around, go right up the driveway again. So what mood am I in? I don't need to mention that. But what I'm also want to point out is that some of these day jobs, the mental attitude, oh, I just have to show up on time and do the muscle work. So when you operate just on that level, it's very easy to get distracted, because there has to be more while you're doing something besides just getting that paycheck at the end of the day. And a day laborer might get paid at the end of the day.
Right.
So some of the mindset of some of the people, you know, you said it, they have to be re-inspired. And I think you can help them with that, because that's really your expertise area.
Mm-hmm. Well, as I said, you know, I think a lot of people self-sabotage themselves. They start thinking negative. They get up in the morning and they can't find their shoe. They lost their car keys. They're already starting to tell themselves, this is going to be a bad day.
Yes.
My car won't start. You know, the boss is probably going to call me in and yell at me because I didn't put the report in on time. And they start doing all this negative self-talk. And before you know it, they've talked themselves into calling out sick.
Yeah. We've all done it.
Yes.
It's terrible. I know. I remember those times. I remember. I really, really do.
Mm-hmm.
But also, many kids that are going for their university, for their education, they pick up a job here and there. And it's great if people, anybody, I don't care who it is, if they would pick up the mindset of those are all possibility
mm-hmm.
thinking, just what you said right in the beginning, Marianne, possibility thinking.
Yes, and seeing things as opportunities, even if they don't pan out to be what you wanted them to be, they're all learning experiences. They're all part of growing. And each time you try something out, just because it doesn't work, it's not a failure. It's actually a good way to do some self-check and say, okay, well, this didn't work out for me. I didn't like this job. I didn't like this type of work environment. But at least I tried it, and now I know what I don't like, so I'm going to keep on keeping on until I find something I do like.
Yes, and this almost needs to be just like a record, like a CD, put into people's minds to look at it that way as opportunities and learning experiences. So they won't get the anxiety, they won't get disappointed and whatever. Because people expect always being paid. So if
mm-hmm.
they're not being paid, if it didn't work well, they look at themselves as a failure.
So, correct.
And
that's why, too, I think even Marianetta, I think it's so good to even go out and do some volunteering. You'd be surprised at how many times we, even where I work, have people that come in, they're interns or they're volunteers, and just the way they showcase their skills, we say, oh, my goodness, if this has an opening in this department, that would be the first person I would offer the job to, because I can see they're on time, they're passionate about what they're doing, they have strong work ethic, and they're doing it with 100% of excellence. So you never know where you might be in the right place in the right time, even not getting paid, but you're volunteering your time. It gives you that opportunity to position yourself for positions that could come your way.
Yeah, and I love everybody who says yes to volunteer opportunities. And not so much, I don't care too much for people that just say, well, I need to be paid for my time. And I find them a lot, too, on my work path. And it makes me sad. It makes me really sad, because I had the opportunity to do a lot of volunteering, and I did it with my heart and my soul, and it really helped me through a health crisis that I went through, and helped me understand just when life is at the bottom, when I'm at the bottom, what happens?
Yes.
Yeah. So I'm an advocate for people who volunteer, and I'm one of them. And I've done a lot, and I continue to do so. So, but possibility thinking, that is incredible that you said that. So,
well, that's where, you know, our creativity and our innovation starts to come in, and you just you know, one thing could start out, you know, very innocently without you even realizing you're doing something. And then from that, something else evolves. From that, you're networking. Before you know it, again, you could be in the right place at the right time. And just a simple thing that you think is menial, oh, this job isn't really anything, someone else is looking at you and they're saying, wow, this person has great skill set and they have potential for even more. I want to offer them an even better position. So, and I've seen that happen many times.
Yeah.
Many times with people.
I came across a quote by Albert Einstein. Creativity is your intelligence having fun. I've never seen that quote. I saw it today. I wrote it down. I want to put it on my website. So this fits so nicely what you just said. And this was not, this is not rehearsed, our conversation today. It was,
that's
it's not
true.
Rehearsed, but creativity is your intelligence having fun. In that case, I have a lot of intelligence, let me tell you.
That's right, because you're very creative.
I'm very creative with apps now and making things colorful, and I just love that. It's just playing, you know?
Yeah. You say that because this morning, when I came into work, I'm working on doing a professional development day for my position here, and an all-staff day, and so I'm working on what are the traits and characteristics of the population we serve. So all of a sudden, I get this brainstorm of what I'm going to do. And I'm telling you, Marionetta, I just read to my staff. They're like, oh, my gosh, when did you do all that? I said, the last couple of hours. I just was like on a roll. Oh, my gosh. Once it sets in there, it's like nothing stops you. And then you just build on it. And you get so excited about, now I could do this and let me add that. And you look back and you say, see, girl, you didn't even know where you were going to begin with this. But once you start and you eliminate all those negative thoughts in your mind and you just go with what you have, before you know it, you keep building on it and it evolves into something really wonderful.
I love when I'm in my creativity flow. It's such a healing process. And your day maybe was real shitty up to that point. Forgive me for using this language, but I wanted to express myself that way. And, you know, when you're in your flow of creativity, it heals you. It makes you feel terrific. It really, really does. And, you know, things that you put off for days where things didn't flow, and it flows within less than 2 hours, and you got it done.
Yes,
you know?
Absolutely, yes.
It's wonderful. I love the creativity. So I will put that quote on somewhere as a Band-Aid. It's going to go somewhere.
I love it.
Yeah. So, when somebody says they're looking for a job, to me that almost sounds like they're just interested in paying their bills and being able to survive. They're not necessarily really trained in certain particular areas, and there are a lot of jobs like that in the service arena. Or sales clerks behind the counter, or helpers in bakeries, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So many jobs, because every business requires different skills and talents. So when you're looking for just a job, I would never even phrase it that way, but just to look for a job, how horrible this must be, getting up in the morning and fighting, you know, getting the kids off to school and doing your chores and then fighting traffic just to show up at 8 o'clock at business ABC and facing customers. I wouldn't want to live like that. I don't want a belief system like that. I don't want that.
No, there's too many hours in the day to be unhappy and miserable and be watching the clock and dreading going to work every day. I think when you do that, you really have to, you know, again, take some self-inventory and don't look at these jobs as a means to get through life. You really have to find out what your passion is and what your gifts and talents are, and then start building on them, start networking, write it down, make a list, spend some time and work maybe with a career coach. Manage your stress. Picture yourself in the job that you would love to do no matter what. whatever it is, picture yourself doing that job. And if you could have any job in the world, what would it be? Be honest with yourself. Because if you just take something just to do it, your heart isn't in it. If your heart isn't in it, your effort isn't going to be in it either.
That's right. And you just fell into the bucket. I just fished you out of the bucket again.
Yes.
No, it's so true. It is so, so true. And it creates pain because you have to suppress when you just take a job, you know, from 8 to 5 or 8 to 6 or whatever it is, and you just show up. You don't have much mental preparation. Look at some of the fast food chains. They make it so easy for the employees just to push a button. They don't have to add or subtract. They don't have to know the menu. They just have to push in, oh, number 54 or number 94 or whatever it is. It totally disables you in your mental state. They don't have to think.
That's right.
Nothing. And most of the time, the people don't even know the inventory. They don't even know. If you do this, you can get that. The switching of different products, different menus, they don't even know that. They lose total interest. All they think probably in general, I just have to get out of bed, show up. Be on time is the most important thing here. And just then leaving, and day in, day out. A mind goes berserk if you do this, if you repeat this, day in, day out.
Yeah, it becomes robotic. There is really no motion or passion in what you're doing. And, you know, even this is another thing I want to bring up I think is important. There have been times in my career life where I've had opportunities that pay maybe almost double what I was doing. And this actually happened to me twice. The first time, I guess I didn't learn the lesson, but the second time, I sure did. So I would say to myself, well, you know, look at this. I could be making twice the amount of money. It's not the same job. It's not really what I want to be doing. It's not really where my gifts are. But, look at all the money I'm going to make. And then I would find myself in that job saying, what did I do? I'm so miserable. I can't wait for Friday. I'm looking at the watch. I'm daydreaming about my old job where I was fulfilled. And I had to learn that lesson twice the hard way. So now I am happy and in content with what I have and realize that less is more and more is less.
Yeah, because when you're looking for a career, you have your skills and talents and also a desire to be working within a certain industry. You know, you just have a different, it will become part of you.
Mm-hmm.
It will become
yes.
part of you if you're looking for a career because you're there to stay. You're there to stay and you want to shine with your skills and talents. So that's how
right.
I look at it. So I want to talk a little bit about resumes and how most people operate. So when they send resumes in general,
mm-hmm.
I want everybody to go on the phone today and dial the phone number and ask to speak with the HR department. That's the first thing I want them to do today.
Mm-hmm.
So,
okay.
Then, of course, they're being put through to a voicemail, and I want them to find out who the HR person is, and most likely they leave a voicemail. Leave your name, telephone number, and for what position you applied. That's very important when you leave the voicemail. You speak clearly and slowly. You repeat your name and telephone number a couple of times. So, and here's what I want people to do. If you have no response after 3 business days, you get on that phone again and you repeat that. You repeat this at a minimum of 3 times. You know, in distance, you know, every 3rd business day you do that again. A lot of people don't even do that because they send out, let's say, 30 resumes, 50 resumes, and they just sit back and wait what happens. And I tell you, nothing will happen. Not a darn
That's right.
thing will happen. So.
Well, you know, the saying, the squeaky wheel gets the grease. So you have to be proactive and assertive. You have to be very assertive in a nice way. You don't want to be pesky, but you want to, you know, call. You want to send a thank you for looking over my resume. I'm still interested. I want to know what the status is of my application because I really would love an opportunity to meet with you and chat more about what I can do, what I can bring to this company. Again, not what the company could do for you, but what you can do for the company. And write down, you know, all your highlights, all your career highlights. You know, use optimistic language and practice. You know, give yourself a last-minute pep talk about what you're going to say when you read these messages or these notes. Make sure they're positive and they're affirming.
That's right. Just like Marian said, you have to be actively involved in your search process, and that's how I want you to be. And let me just read my notes. And so all of the resumes have to be called. I don't care if you send out 20 or 50. You have work ahead of you. The next day, 8:30, you sit at the desk with your computer. First of all, you look at the company, all the companies, and you find out what their main product or services are, who the bosses are, who is in charge. I don't care if the departments are not even close to, maybe you want to, let's say, for instance, purchasing. Somebody wants a job in purchasing. I would advise them to read the whole thing, who's the treasurer, who's this, who's that, where the company buys their parts from, overseas or Canada, or all the above.
Yes, do your homework.
That's right, because they will be interacting very closely with accounts payable, accounts receivable, with cost accounting, with the upper echelons who sign the checks, the treasurers and that whole department, and also data entry. So,
you have to know the company's strong suits, sniff out kind of like their financial health, watch their community interaction, go on their website and really pay some close attention to, like you said, who's there, what are they doing, what is the company profiles like, learn about the company culture if you can, read up on their competitors, find out what it is they're selling or not selling, what is it that makes them set apart from other places. So the more you can learn and know, the better prepared you're going to be.
Absolutely. And when you speak of culture, in many industry, it's easier to detect, such as, let's say, restaurants. Restaurants have a high turnover. So you certainly want to find out what that area looks like, you know, how long people have been in there,
right.
and so forth. So some industries is a little harder from the outside looking in unless you know somebody. You know, that all, if you want to find something out, you can, trust me, you really can. So, but here's the key, if somebody is in the beginning stages of, let's say, a day laborer, a temp, and so forth, I would love to have people in the beginning, making beginning steps, to start thinking that way, what we're talking about, because there is no need to wait till you really know what you're, you know. No. Adopt that mindset that we're talking about now. Always find out. You got to be two steps ahead of everybody. And that really is power. And I also want people to know that it's not always your resume or your skills that are not sufficient. Companies behind the scenes have a lot of trouble, and you would never know that. So I go in and out of companies all the time. They have job changes all the time. Person who's been there 20 years all of a sudden left. They handle all the hiring and firing. Now maybe they retired or they got sick, so that position is not covered yet. So the business owner has to handle all of this. And in a small or medium-sized company, they just don't have the time for that. So all the resumes come in and they're being put in a pile and that's it. And that could be one reason why you haven't heard. So I don't care what the reason is, or maybe you're not qualified or maybe you're overqualified. I want you to pick up that phone. I want you to call.
Mm-hmm.
And that's
right.
Until you get an answer, because you cannot assume automatically that they rejected you because they didn't.
And sometimes it just happens to be that even though they are putting it out there, you know, that there's an opening, and you say, well, gee, I haven't heard anything. You know I have all the right credentials. I wonder what happened. Sometimes they end up hiring from within. So it has nothing to do with you personally, so don't take that as a personal rejection.
Exactly. Just be prepared to get a yes or a no. You owe that to yourself. So
correct.
A yes or no, oh, I'm sorry, the position is filled. So don't even go into details why and how come, just next. Just put it, you know, put it over to the left and go to the next one. So this is part of the process. But this is where a lot of people have problems. They don't follow up. Not only when they in a job search process, people in mm-hmm. general have the poorest of the poorest follow-up skills. They say something and they don't do it.
You know, Marianetta, when my daughter was 10 years old, she got involved in community theater. And she started out, doing community theater, acting and singing. We didn't even know she had singing skills or acting skills because she went to dancing school as a child. But we started to see her talents, you know, just evolve. And from there, she ended up getting involved with a lot of competitions, talent competitions, where she was chosen by an agency to go professional. And for 11 months, this was a really great learning experience for her and myself. But you have to have that perseverance. And for 11 months, we went back and forth to New York City, audition after audition, interview after interview, callback after callback. And I said to her, starting out, I said, Catherine, look at each one of these as opportunities to learn, so the next time you get called or a call back, you'll know what to do and what not to do. But eventually, somebody is going to say yes. So for 11 months, going back and forth to the city, we went. And by the 11th month, I looked at her and I said, I don't know, maybe there's something to this that we're missing. Maybe we should just call it a day. And she said, no, Mom, you said I have to persevere and I can't give up. I said, okay, if you're ready to keep doing this, yes, I am. By the 11th month, this little 10-year-old booked a huge job on TV. It was a big position, and it wasn't a walk-on. It was a major role. And I said, wow. And from there, she, you know, just one thing led to the next. Before you know it, she has like a whole resume full of all kinds of big major productions with Broadway TV and radio and everything.
That
and it all started with just
story.
Perseverance.
A little, you were teaching her about perseverance, and you just kind of got tired, and she said, come on, Ma, come on, you talk.
Exactly. It's so true.
Yeah, but, you know, no, Mom, keep going. And if it hadn't been, sometimes it was just a couple more corners.
That's it. She was so close.
Yeah.
And her first job was on Law & Order. I don't know if you remember Law & Order. The TV show, and then she booked NYPD Blue and soap operas and everything. One thing was, but it was not easy. There were many days, remember, in the car, a long distance, a two-hour ride into the city, persevering, you know, paying the meter, paying the time, having to do your homework later at night. It takes a lot of work. You can't just think you're going to arrive and hit the jackpot the first time around.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes people get beginner's luck, but that doesn't always happen. You have to pay your dues. And you have to be ready and willing to accept criticism. You have to be ready and willing to accept rejection. And don't take it personal. It's not a personal thing. Sometimes they're looking for something specific when they're hiring people. So it doesn't mean that you lack in some area. It just means that what they want, it's like you and I going to the mall and we're trying to find a dress we like. We may like five of those dresses, Marianetta, but at the end, we can only choose one. So we pick the one that suits us the best.
Absolutely.
Right?
And this reminds me of... Remember the America Got Talent? What's this guy's name?
I know who you mean.
The one who's so rude all the time. Remember years ago?
Yes.
Years ago. Boy, I tell you, people would just gasp for breath when he said something. And do you know he softened? He really has softened over the years. I can't believe it because I watch him almost every other day. I run into him on YouTube.
Yeah.
And I love him,
by the way.
I love him. So
he's awesome. And I think it's good because that's how you learn. You have to be willing to accept feedback. If you don't want to grow, then you're just, you have to be able to get feedback and say, okay, this is where I can improve. Let me go back and try again. And I love when they do American Idol where people don't make it the first time, but they come back 2, 3, 4 years
yes.
in a row.
Yes.
And by the fourth year, they've got it.
Yes.
They've got it down.
Yes.
They don't give up.
They don't give up. But here's the thing. When you tell people that have not walked a distance, and people say, well, you got to take rejection. This and I said, yeah, right? You don't mm-hmm. know what it feels like till you're being told by a very harsh voice. So you think you can dance, or you think you can sing, or you think you can do whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
And the delivery of these messages, just be prepared that these messages, the way they are delivered, they're so busy. Some of them are just really rude. To give you just an example.
Mm-hmm.
I was a full charge bookkeeper back in my accounting days, back in the 70s.
Mm-hmm.
And no, I was a bookkeeper. I was not a full charge bookkeeper yet with trial balance. That's what it is. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I worked for Snelling and Snelling. No, I didn't work for them. I always went through job agencies at that time in the 70s. It was a big thing going through all these agencies. So mm-hmm. And I remember it was Snelling and Snelling in Stanford. Now they're sending me to a company, a big company. I'm walking in. The guy looked at me, a big desk, big heavy guy, He says, and he took one look at me. And he gave me right away a problem to solve. In other words, how would you post such and such to such and such ledger, debit and credit. So if you know your entries as a full charge bookkeeper in the general ledger, you just whip that right out.
Right.
Now, the guy must have smelled something, maybe the way I looked or the sound in my voice, whatever. So I looked at him and I said, I don't know that. So the deal was, she was sending me from Snelling and Snelling to that company, letting him know I didn't have the experience and I would take less money. Apparently, that message did not get to him. And you know what he said to me right then and there? I almost died. He said, would you excuse me? I have a phone call. Now, the phone didn't ring. Would you excuse me? I have a phone call. And with that, I got up, walked out the door, and I was crushed. And where I had the problem after, and I was looking, I still had a job with a medical group in Stanford, but I was mm-hmm. looking for more of a challenging position. And the next time I went on an appointment, to overcome that was very difficult for me at that time. So it is true. It's the best if you yourself has the contact with the employer. You get to say everything that you need to say, your strengths, your weaknesses, and so forth. So if there is a third party involved, things can always go wrong. And I experienced that because he never got the message that, and I had the capabilities because I got a full charge bookkeeping position mm-hmm. after that.
Wow.
I did. But if I had not worked on myself, I was persistent and with very shaky knees, very weak knees after that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, go ahead.
Well, one thing else I used to do when I would go on interviews, I decided that I would make these portfolios. So I would get myself a nice notebook because I said, you know, anybody could put whatever on a resume, words, but I want to show the proof in the pudding, kind of. So I would make these really nice binders, and I saved every achievement that I ever accomplished in those binders. If it were newspaper articles that, you know, there was a write-up about something I did, or an event that I would host, or something positive I facilitated, or a training or a teaching, anything that I did that would show my strengths, I saved it and put it in a beautiful binder. And when I went on the interview, I had a nice talking piece. I could show where I have my talents and skills, and I wasn't at a loss for words. And every time I would do this, the interview person would say to me, wow, this is really incredible. No one has ever brought in a visual like this, and it's showing us what you really can do.
Wow, that's great. But what about if you don't have any talents and skills like I did when growing up? And I remember I was 10 or 11, between 10 and 12. I don't remember, in the 60s. So it tells everybody how old I am, but it doesn't matter. So now I had nothing to show for, because the skills and talents, everybody could sing. Some of them were dancing. They went for music lessons after school. We had home economics. I was good in cooking because that's something I was involved in my house, in my family, within the family. So mm-hmm. I was way advanced making meals and so forth compared to the other girls. Now, when we did crocheting, you know, making socks, mm-hmm. everybody was already finished. I was still on the first sock and couldn't get over the heel part. So therefore,
yeah.
it just, I never got it, you know, mm-hmm. and the teacher, she just didn't have time to, you know. Then we made aprons and little covering, little for the head, covering up little mm-hmm. dry, what is it, just a little, like a kerchief,
mm-hmm.
you know, and I never finished anything, never did. I remember, and what I really wanted to say was, between 10 and 12, I'm not really sure now, having portable radios was a big deal in the 60s.
Oh, I remember. There were little transistor radios.
Right? Now, you can yeah. imagine if you had a tape recorder that you were carrying around with an actual microphone. I don't know where the heck we got this from. Probably the school supplied them.
Mm-hmm.
So, and we were supposed to, the project was, we were supposed to go up to pedestrians and ask on the street and ask them questions. So I either had problems just pushing the button on the darn machine, on the darn recorder. And
right.
then when people did pay attention to me, I didn't know what to ask them. I totally, my mind just totally went blank. So that was a total failure. So I've experienced a lot of failures in my growing up years. A lot of failures. And I really didn't know if I was good at anything. I couldn't even swim.
Wow, you'd never know it today.
Oh, my God. So it's all the environment, because you were left alone as a child, and
mm-hmm.
you really had no reason to push. It was easier to say, well, I just can't do that. So when you,
right.
you do that over a stretch of time into your adult years, and you're still saying, well, I just can't do that. So you keep starting new things and
mm-hmm.
never finish anything. So.
Mm.
But that has changed today. For many, many years, almost 30 years already, there isn't anything that I will not finish. And no matter what the outcome is, I finish it. And that's
I can see that. You're amazing, all the things that you're involved in, brave about, you know, topics that are challenging, that you're able to have great conversation about.
Yeah, and it's really having lived it too. And just like yourself, you develop an instinct, an intellect. When you talk to people, you know exactly what they're all about. I know in your work, you have to have that, and you have it. You know exactly, as a clinical therapist, where that person is at, mentally, emotionally, everything, and how to guide that person, what would be best. Now, the challenge is, I know you know what's best, but they don't know that, and they resist you. So that's the key.
That is the key, and it's building that therapeutic alliance with them so they feel safe and not judged, and you're able to really sit and get deep about, you know, things that happen and why they've happened, and then help them discover. As I said to a young man yesterday who was going through a real terrible time, I said, he said, what do you think it is? I said, well, you already know what it is. You have all the answers inside yourself. And let's just rewind the tape and go back to where these behaviors started. Take a good look at them, and if to thine own self be true, you are the best predictor of what's happening in your life and what's going to happen in your future. And he looked at me and he says, no, I never thought of it that way. I said, so what do you think it is? He says, oh, now you're asking me. I was supposed to ask you. I said, you have the answer. And he did have the answer.
Yeah.
And he came out with it. It was like, wow, you know, a light bulb went off.
Do you know, very many, many, many people need an inner guide to look at everything. Some people can do it on their own, because they know the path, they kept the path clean and also going forward. But many people that are not in tune with their feelings, their thoughts, their intuition and so forth, it can get quite messy. The roads are secondary roads, you know, where a lot of debris needs to be cleaned up and so forth. It needs to be cleaned up. But once it's all cleaned up, I tell you, it can be great.
And absolutely, and that has a lot to do with problem solving, because you can't fix a problem if you don't first define what it is. So you have to be able to define the problem and be able to take a good look at it and not avoid it, not blame other people for it, but really do some soul searching and brainstorming and find out the good, the bad, the ugly. What are the pluses? What are the minuses? What would be interesting to find out? And really do some good critical thinking. And before you know it, you're going to be able to solve your problems without drinking, drugging, or doing anything that is going to be unhealthy for you.
Yeah, very true. For today, we're out of time. Marion Gardner was our guest today. And, of course, life stories and life lessons. And today I could really use that Mechanic Joe we talked about in our first series. So because Joe would know just by listening to the motor what's wrong. Where are you, Joe? It is the truth. All right.
Yes.
Thank you so much for today. Hope to see you real soon, and have a great week, Marion Gardner. Thank you.
Thank you. You too.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye now.
Take care. Bye-bye.